Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
President Donald Trump has made 3 trips to Palm Beach, Florida since his inauguration last month. He has been immersed in the ostentatious social scene of Palm Beach since at least 1985, when he bought the historic Mar-a-Lago estate, which he later turned into a private club. But now, as the home of the so-called Winter White House, Palm Beach is taking on a whole new relevance. And few know more about the social scene there than Shannon Donnelly, who is society editor for the Palm Beach Daily News, known around town as the Shiny Sheet. Shannon, you've been covering high society in Palm Beach for more than 2 decades. For those who haven't been there, what's Palm Beach all about?
Well, it's all about sunshine and money and just living the good life.
But how is it different from Miami or Fort Lauderdale or some of the other places around there?
Well, it's extremely insulated. It's an island. It's only accessible by 3 bridges, which are heavily patrolled with television cameras, traffic cameras that have a direct feed to the police department. And it's the sort of place where people who are very, very rich go for getaways.
I remember during the campaign, there was a night when Donald Trump was holding a rally in Palm Beach and Hillary Clinton was holding a rally in West Palm Beach. What's the difference between the two places?
Well, West Palm Beach is a large metropolitan area, part of Palm Beach County, which is actually bigger than the whole state of Rhode Island. And it's very diverse and spread out and primarily skews 40 to 75.
And Donald Trump has been in Palm Beach since 1985 when he bought Mar-a-Lago and turned it into a private club in 1995. How does he fit in to the scene there?
Well, he fits in now much more comfortably than in 1985. You know, he was perceived as sort of this upstart, brash New Yorker who thought he was going to come to town and you know, do whatever he wanted. And this town is very preservation minded, which I think is often used as an excuse just to exclude people. And he's, you know, had a hard time. The people who live in the neighborhood that of Mar-a-Lago didn't want him to develop anything. But he's a very smart businessman and very strategic, and he got his way.
And he's had a couple of fights with the city, right?
He's had more than a couple of fights with the city. Sometimes the city won, like, over the flag thing. And
the flag thing is he wanted to build a really tall flagpole, and they told him that that was against the ordinances.
Yes. Well, first he did it in Santa Barbara or one of those places, someplace where he put this huge flag up, which was against the town code, and then the town got after him and he got all of this publicity. It was just all over the newspapers. And I said to one of my colleagues, you watch, he's going to do the same thing here. And sure enough, you know, he decides arbitrarily to build this gigantic flag, which is in an FAA landing zone. So there were also federal considerations there, and got a lot of publicity and got to call everybody un-American. But eventually he and the town settled and he has a large flag there, but not as large as he wanted.
Well, and you mentioned FAA. Mm-hmm. We met somebody named Jerry Powers last year who used to publish Trump Magazine. And he said that Trump used to hire him back in the day to bring people up to Mar-a-Lago to have huge parties. And that the reason was that Trump wanted leverage to get the flights to stop flying over Mar-a-Lago.
Well, as I said, he's very strategic.
Do you remember that, though? Do you remember him doing that?
I remember him having parties at Mar-a-Lago, but bringing people up from Miami is not any reason for, you know, my newspaper, which is strictly the town of Palm Beach, to cover something. I believe it happened, but I was not there for it.
And by the way, Trump has called you a good writer, tough and fair. Has he gone after you?
Many times. We've certainly had our differences, although I am a good writer and tough but fair, so I agree with that. Someone asked me to describe our relationship. I said it's like being in a carpool with somebody you don't really like, but they've got really good air conditioning. So, I mean, we have to get along for me to do my job. And, you know, he has to get along with me for his club to you know, be what he wants it to be. So we have an understanding.
Describe a Mar-a-Lago party to us, because I know you've been to many.
Okay. Well, we have to sort of break up the venues. There's the big you know, gala balls, which take place in the ballroom that Donald built as an addition to the property. Then there's the smaller parties that, take place in the original house itself. So if you're in a – most of the ones that I go to are the big charity balls. So it starts with a cocktail reception usually around the pool. There's usually some kind of music around the pool, maybe a string quartet. I've been to parties where there was a full symphony orchestra. There's several bars set up, you know, waiters, waitresses circulating with hors d'oeuvres. And then you move up some tiled stairs and then down some tiled stairs to the Grand Ballroom, which is a replica of the Hall of Mirrors at Versailles. So it's all gold, gilt, and it's, you know, beautiful mirrors and you know, marble floor. And that's where you have dinner and you're dancing. Of course, there's always speeches, thank you, big donors. And when you go home, there's usually a little coffee bar outside waiting for you while you wait for the valet to bring you your car. And you get a little bag from, you know, Tiffany or someplace as your table gift.
So Mar-a-Lago has about 500 members. Give us a sense of who they are.
I tell people, they ask, well, is it a good club? And I tell people, the best club in town is the one you can get into. So, you know, to the people who are members of Mar-a-Lago, it's the best place in town because it's where they could belong without going through an extremely thorough and sometimes embarrassing vetting process where you have to ask, you know, six members if they'll be willing to sponsor you. Then you have to submit your income tax records and you have to, you know, get references from, you know, previous clubs. You don't have to do that at Mar-a-Lago. If you can afford the membership fee and there's room for you, you can get in.
And they've doubled the price of being a member there, right?
Yes. After the election, they doubled the price to $200,000 for an initiation fee. Which, by the way, is refundable when you terminate your membership. But that really didn't affect – I think there were probably only 10 or 11 memberships left anyway. So, you know, I mean, so yay, they got, you know, $200,000 times 10 or 11. But, yeah, it's not like there's going to be, you know, 500 more members at $200,000 per.
And the people that are members are – a lot of them CEOs of companies, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Do they have special access to the president?
I don't know. Well, I was there Saturday night for an event, and I have to tell you, it was much easier to talk to him when he wasn't president. His entrance, his egress, all accompanied by a slew of Secret Service men. When he sits down at a table, the Secret Service surrounds the table. You can't really approach it. Sometimes he'll get up and work the room, which – you know, you could see the distress on the look of the Secret Service agents' faces because they do not like that. But, you know, I would say if you play golf with him, sure, you have access. If you're just there having dinner, probably not. You can see him, you can wave to him, but you're not going to be able to talk to him.
How have the people of Palm Beach felt about Trump now that he's president? We've heard stories about the fact that some of the businesses are really frustrated by the disruptions when he goes to Mar-a-Lago. But how are people thinking about him now?
Well, you know, he's the president. And Palm Beach is a very Republican community. But, you know, whether you voted for him or not, he's the president. And this is where he decides to spend his weekends. Well, you know, we have to live with it. JFK was here all the time when he was president. Of course, I don't remember that. I think the people that live south of Mar-a-Lago – it's an inconvenience for them. But what are you going to do? I mean, you can – actually, I think he's thinking about building a helipad to bring him in from the airport, which may ease traffic a little bit. But we'll see what happens.
But you still got the issue of the airport nearby, the private airport that has to shut down when he's
yes,
there, right?
Yes. The Lantana Airport, yes, has to shut down. And that's really an issue. You know, they close the entire airport to all other air traffic when the president is getting ready to leave.
Presidents in general, when they go on vacation, they tend to be in these little insulated worlds. We know that President Obama and President Clinton would go to Martha's Vineyard mm-hmm. in the summertime, right. And President George W. Bush would go down to Texas, but he was in his compound there.
Right.
Does Donald Trump ever venture out into the city of Palm Beach, or do you, when you go to Mar-a-Lago, do you just stay at Mar-a-Lago?
He tends to stay at Mar-a-Lago. I think I've seen him out in about one time in all the years I've known him, and it was coming out of Tiffany's on Worth Avenue doing some Christmas shopping. You know, he tends to stick to Mar-a-Lago because really, you know, why do you need to leave? You have the beach, you have a spa, you have, you know, fine dining. But he will go to his golf clubs. He does get out to go to his golf clubs.
You just mentioned something that I want to ask you about, mm-hmm. Worth Avenue. Mm-hmm. So the big street in Palm Beach is called Worth Avenue.
Yes, right.
What's that about?
Well, it's sort of like the Rodeo Drive of Palm Beach. It's very high-end retailers. It's Gucci. It's Hermes. It's Chanel. It's Tiffany. It's Van Cleef & Arpels. It's Saks Fifth Avenue. That is the high-end district. They're not really suffering as much because they are close to the Middle Bridge, which is not closed down when the president is in town.
Do you know why it's called Worth Avenue?
Well, it's actually named after Lake Worth. I would like to say it's because
it's not how much are you worth?
Because Cash Avenue was already taken, but then no, that's not why it's named after Lake Worth.
Okay. That's Shannon Donnelly, who is society editor for the Palm Beach Daily News, which they call the shiny sheet. And they call that the shiny sheet. Why, Shannon?
Well, because we're printed on very high quality stock. The ladies were complaining years and years ago about the ink rubbing off on their Pratese linens. So we went to a very high quality magazine stock that does not rub off. You know, you don't have to wear gloves like when you read the New York Times.
Well, Shannon Donnelly, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.